Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Blended Life. I am Eric. This is my wife, Julie.
Hey, you guys. Today, I'm interviewing Eric about our story. It's going to be really good, really insightful, really encouraging. But before we do that, we're jumping into a few things about Halloween and the new season of life we're in. It's going to be good. Enjoy.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Let's jump right into it.
Yeah, welcome back and happy November. It's November 1st. Yesterday was Halloween, and I thought we'd start there with Halloween. It's interesting because we have entered, I feel, a new season of life. I remember we were walking down yesterday from our house to our neighbor's house. They were having like a community gathering with like food to share, and all the kids are dressed up. And we see all these little kids, just cute as a button, running around in their costumes and full of joy. And we have no children to be found anywhere.
At all. We had one dressed up yesterday. That was too cool to hang out with us.
She took off at like 5:30 p.m. Yeah. We didn't see her till the end of the night.
Yeah.
But it's a new season that we're entering that many have gone before. And a lot are still with the little kids. And you said something to me. I was like, I miss that age. I miss the little kids just full of joy and so excited, and you get to dress them up and you get to celebrate. And you were like, yeah, it only lasts like 4 years.
It literally does, because like the kids, you can dress them up when they're really tiny, you know, and take them out trick or treating. But those years of them like figuring out what they want to do and being excited for what they want to do, you know, it's really kind of only the elementary years.
The handful of years, you know, and then they go away. So we have two, one in a different state, one like 4, 5, 6 hours away. And then our two that are still in the home had other plans that we were not cool enough to be invited to. Yep. So it's just a new season. It's interesting. How do you feel about that? How do you feel as the kids are growing up and we're less involved?
Yeah, like, it's sad. I mean, but here's the thing. Like every time a new page turns, a new chapter turns of the kids' lives, you know, we're sad and we miss it, right? But it's been that way since they were born. It's been that way since before they were born. You know, like you miss all the things. You miss the things when they were brand new and they were little and they were learning to walk, and then, you know, the first days at school, and then the first time they played a sport, or, you know, whatever that looks like. All these things come and they go, and they only last so long. You know, but look at this. We're looking back at like, man, we miss those times when they were so little and they're excited to go trick or treating. But now it's going to be like, you know, what's coming up next? You know, like as long as we look forward, you know, we'll always have the memories in the past.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm chuckling to myself. You guys go check out either our Facebook page or our Instagram page, because I put up a picture that I'm going to talk about right now. So it's blended_life is our handle on Instagram, and then Blended Life for Facebook. But I'm chuckling to myself because when we can't dress up our kids, We will dress up our dogs.
Our poor dogs. Yeah, they were actually really good. They will work for treats.
They went through like a half bag of treats to get the picture that you guys can go check out on our social media or Facebook. And it's just funny because it's like, we're totally dressing up our dogs now that we can't dress up our kids.
These poor things.
I know. They like it. Yeah. And you guys can also see Eric's pumpkin that he carved that very proud of. But yeah, so go check out those pictures. It's really, really hilarious. How did you even come up with that?
I don't know. I'm sure I saw it somewhere. I don't know. It's not like unique to the world. I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would love to hear you guys comment below either this video or on our social medias. Let us share pictures. What did you do for Halloween fun?
Tag us in your blended family posts. Like if you guys posted yesterday for Halloween or days ago for Halloween, because you're listening to this later, tag us. Let us. We want to see what you guys have going and your costumes. And as you go throughout life, if you guys are avid listeners and supporters of Blended Life and you guys are in this with us, tag us as you go. We'll repost stuff. We'll share it on our stories. We'll comment. We are real people. We're not people who are too big for our britches and have other people running our social media. Like it is just Julie and I.
Clearly. And you can also see what we dressed up for as Halloween this past weekend.
What
actually
do you mean for Halloween? That's like my day-to-day outfit.
Oh gosh. All right.
Imagine.
So Halloween's behind us. We've entered a new era. It makes me think about the holidays coming up because we are going to have kids now, two kids coming home.
Yeah.
And how does that look? And like stars aligning for celebration and family pictures. And like, are we going to get a Christmas tree when everyone's home? Like, or do we forego that? You know, it's just now.
We're not going to be able to. Like, not having a discussion about it right now.
The first time.
Yeah. We're not going to have all the kids home to get a Christmas tree. Like, sorry, it's not going to work out.
No.
Actually, I think we're only going to have two kids home to get a Christmas tree.
It's very odd. Yeah. Unless we got the Christmas tree at Thanksgiving, then we would have three, which is what you usually do, like the weekend after.
Okay.
I don't know if that even works out because now, like even when both kids come home, they have two families to see.
Yeah.
So that is even hard to navigate. Like, and then that's new because I've never navigated that with my son yet. You know, he's gone away to college. He's coming home for the first time and then he's 18. So there's no custody schedule. So he gets to come and go between the homes, but I know he's going to feel like he's got to appease everyone. And then my daughter still has a custody schedule. And so it's going to be interesting how that all works out. If you guys are already dealing with that, again, drop a comment, let me know how that's working for you. Anything that's hard about that, I would love to know as well. I don't know. This whole holiday season is just going to be different.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But here's the thing is we don't have to stress on holiday seasons. Everyone, you know, starts getting all up in arms when Christmas starts unrolling before.
Today is the
Halloween.
First day of Christmas.
Yeah, but it's been like we went to Home Depot like 2 weeks ago and Christmas was already in
so excited.
Full effect. But why make it a stressful time of year, you guys? You know, if things get done, let them get done. If there's things you want to do, make them priorities, great. But at the end of the day, the days are going to come and the days are going to go. You know, why stress out about it? Do your best. Make sure your family is just having a good time. And don't stress on all the little details. I think a lot of people end up getting hung up on that these days. And it makes it a stressful time of year. Like, why do we have to make it a stressful time of year?
Yeah. That's totally how you approach it. And I learn a lot from you that way.
Well, it's the same way as you're explaining this about the kids coming home and having two different families and everything. I'm just like, let them know that they're wanted. Let them know that that you would like to see them at home. But don't put so much pressure on them that it makes it a bad time for them. Because then going home for the holidays is always going to be a stressful memory for them.
Yeah. The only good thing about my dad living far away from my mom.
The only good thing?
Yeah. I mean, because I try to find, like, November is the month of gratitude. And so I always, and I for years have, you know, each day of the month, I write down what I'm grateful for. And so, so I'm in that mindset because it's November 1st. I've already written my gratitude post, which actually is in dedication of you.
Wow, thanks.
I don't want to get all misty-eyed here.
I kind of want to watch. We're going to go close up. Here we go.
But so the mindset of gratitude, that's what pops into my head when I think about my parents living you know, I lived 6 hours away from my father. And so, you know, he wasn't in my life on a daily basis. I had to see him was like a big deal because he lived far away. And but the good thing is, as a child, I didn't have the pressure of having to visit two families. Like when I was with my dad, I was with my dad. I couldn't go see my mom. I couldn't, you know, pop over to mom's house or, hey, mom, I don't like it here. Come get me. You know, so holidays, I was fully immersed in that family's holiday experience the entire time. And for me, that it was not stressful. I didn't feel pressure to please people. And that is a big blessing of living far apart, I guess. There's not a lot of blessings, but there is one. But I like taking that approach with the kids and just not putting pressure on them. I think I do a poor job of that because I want to experience things with them. So I need to keep that in mind this holiday season and as we navigate this new season of life and just kids moving out and becoming adults and having their own lives and, you know, having boyfriends and girlfriends that they want to spend time with outside of the two families that they're obligated to maybe.
I know.
It's a lot.
I'm like, I'm like, I even wonder, like, I pretty much know what one Christmas is going to look like for all four of our kids, you know?
And tell me.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, Annabelle will be with us or with the other family. No, she'll be with us on Christmas Day because she goes there on Christmas Eve. But I'm like you just said, like, where's Jared going to be? He's going to be, at our house, at his mom's house, at his girlfriend's house, you know, where, you know. Anyways, it's going to be all a little bit crazy.
We'll see them for an hour.
But again, like, just enjoy that because, yeah, the kids might not be at your house that time, but that now opens up extra time. That opens up time to do things. That opens up time, if you've done everything, to relax. That opens up time to go sit down and watch your favorite Christmas movie or wrap presents or whatever it may be. Find joy and find value in the time.
Yeah, and be purposeful with your time, you know, and have a plan. I think having a plan for, you know, how am I going to deal with time away from my children is always helpful as we enter the holiday season, whether we're in the thick of childhood or, you know, we have grown adult children. There's so much good that we can do. We can go serve and give back to our communities. I even think this holiday season, writing letters or cards is a great way to encourage people and send mail that isn't bills to people. Anyway, I won't get too far
off
that subject.
Drop little gift cards in or something.
Yeah.
Do some fun stuff.
I wanted to talk about us today.
Boy, how narcissistic of you.
No, I want to interview you a little bit.
Oh, wow. Okay, I did not come prepared for this, but
you are totally prepared because you lived it. You have all the answers.
Do I?
Yeah.
You guys didn't know this, did you?
You didn't know
this. I'm the answer guy.
Yeah, you are. But I kind of want to look back on how our relationship evolved. I don't want to talk about the exes. I don't even want to talk about our children. I really just want to talk about yours.
Good, because I'm sick of all of them.
My relationship. Kidding. And so if we think back, and I can give input as we go too, but this is a lot of our audience really appreciates the male perspective that you bring. There's lots of podcasts with the female perspective, but I think it's so cool to be able to hear your point of view. And so here we go. When, first question.
Mind you guys, I did not know this was going down. So this is
yeah
all brand news to me.
As all of our podcasts are. Kind of. Like, you act like this is like,
yeah, but you don't interview me. You don't tell me that I'm getting interviewed. What if I don't like a question? Can I pass?
I'll answer for you.
Welcome to our relationship.
Marriage. No. Okay. So I'm curious because a lot of people, I get clients and people write in, mostly females. Okay. Wanting like they're in, and I was certainly in this position too, but how did you know you were ready to get married again or be committed in that way, even if it wasn't marriage, right? But you knew that I was going to be the one forever, or you were going to do that. And it might have not been when you proposed or whatever. And you don't need to go through the whole threat. You don't need to go. I'm just talking about your heart. I know where you're going with this.
I was going nowhere. You're asking the questions. I'm just listening.
I want to know, like, how inside of your heart, soul, mind, whatever, you knew that you were ready again after everything you'd been through in your past to, like, to do this again. Because that's hard.
I think it's one of those things that you just feel calm, you feel peace, you feel you just feel settled, you know? I'm not in a place where I'm fighting all these battles and I'm not sure in my heart. I guess you feel it in your heart. You know, it's one of those things God just puts on your heart and he goes, hey, everything feels right. Everything feels okay. And I just got to a place where I just felt at ease and I felt settled. I felt like the dust had settled for the most part. Little do you know, it's like the dust just is so much higher on its way down.
It didn't settle, it just went higher up.
But I think it's something you feel. You end up feeling it, you know, and you just know it's right.
How far into our relationship would you say that you came to that realization? Because I imagine it was before you actually proposed.
Yeah, it was probably much further, but much earlier.
Earlier?
Yeah, it was much earlier, but it was, again, just kind of making sure all the dust settles, you know? Everything's just kind of feels right. There aren't any surprises. Because a lot of times, especially when you meet someone for the first time, now, mind you, we were a few years in, but there's still surprises that come up, you know? I mean, we're a few years in marriage. There's still surprises that come up.
10 years in, I'm surprised. Yeah,
I know.
I'm like, I can't make this shit up, you guys.
Yeah, I wake up every morning surprised.
All right. Specifically, there are things that happen in blended families on the road to marriage, maybe, or on the road to blending your family. And I'm wondering if you even ever thought of being ready for these things and how you knew it was time. So like our kids meeting for the first time, let's say, how did you know you were ready to introduce
kids? That was an easy one because you and I weren't dating when we introduced the kids. It was just like play dates and us as friends and the kids hanging out. So that's not really a fair answer for people listening. Because a lot of people are dating and then they introduce the kids. You and I were friends for a long time before we actually started dating. And our kids were friends at that point because we had introduced them. But I think to kind of answer your question, once I knew that you were a safe person and that you were a good, you know, kind-hearted person, that your kids were good kids, that your values aligned with my values, then it was like, okay, we can be friends. Like our families can be friends. The kids can be friends. And, you know, if I need you to babysit or you need me to babysit, we're safe places for each other. And I think that, just as like a blanket statement, whether you're dating or not, it's knowing who the person is that you're dating. If the person that you're dating or that you are wanting to introduce your kids to has lots of red flags, it might not be the time, because a lot of times those first indicators, especially if you're just starting to hang out, male or female, there's red flags and there's indicators. Usually those aren't going to go away.
Yeah.
And you might hope some of them do, but usually if those ones go away, 10 more are going to pop up.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
it's finding that safe space and again, aligning values.
Yeah, aligning values is huge, or at least being able to respect each other's values, even if you don't have the same, like, because we all have a hierarchy of values, and actually, yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is something I work with in my clientele often. If you guys don't know, I'm a life coach, and I specialize in helping adults and blended families find peace in the chaos and kind of figure out their purpose and role in the blended family life. And I work with couples as well anyway, but work around values is super important, because you have to be really clear what your values are, and not just, I value independence, I value peace, I value respect. Those are big words that are very subjective when it comes to the meaning of them and in regards to you and your life. So this is a lot of work, but I think what's really cool is, like, can I honor your values and respect them, even if your hierarchy of values looks a little different than mine. And that mutual respect and understanding is really a key, I think, for relationships to work.
Well, let's take that a step further, though. So you and I can understand and respect each other's values and hierarchy of values if it's for you and I, but you, if you have children and you're trying to introduce children into this mix, make sure not only do the values align or you respect them, but make sure that the values are okay for your children to be around your kid.
Oh, for sure.
Because kids might, even though I respect your values, I might not see eye to eye. They might not be mine.
Right.
So if they're not mine, my kids might see them, and my kids might start to grow on your values, you know? So if, I'm going to offend like five people in our audience. If day drinking is a value of yours and you're just like, that's okay. And I'm like, listen, like you've made it, you know, you're well
you've
off.
You've made it.
You've, you know, you're well off. Like you're not hurting anyone. You're not hurting yourself. You are.
I'm not breaking up with you because you day drink. Is that?
No, but listen, if you are able to control it and you still hold a good quote unquote healthy life and it just somehow it just works perfectly for you and it's all right. I respect it. It's not my values, but I respect it. But at the end of the day, I don't want my kids to see that. I don't want my kids to see like that is a lifestyle. Now, this is me personally talking. I'm like, I don't want my kids to think like day drinking is an all right thing. Again, I'm sorry if I'm offending some of you. This is just a good analogy that I think a lot of people can understand and see. Know that ahead of time. Know that before you start putting your kids in that situation. And now my kids are going to come hang out with you and you're day drinking. Again, that's not my values, but that's yours. And I respect your values. I'm whatever. Doesn't affect me. Doesn't bother me. You and I are still great, you know, but I don't want my kids growing up like that, you know?
Yeah, that's good to consider.
So just
what your kids are going to be exposed to with the other person in their life, right?
And this is where we really have to put our kids above ourselves. We have to put our kids' feelings above ours. We need to put our kids' upbringings and our value for our children above our own values.
Yeah. All right. Another big milestone in blending families is moving in together.
Yeah.
How did you know you were ready to take that step for you and your son?
I think that just gradually happened. It wasn't like, hey, let's move in. It was like, hey, we moved in. You know what I mean? It was like, we all just kind of, you know, it was like the kids had sleepovers and it was before you and I ever did anything like that. The kids had sleepovers and then it slowly evolved over what probably a 5 or 6 month period, you know? And then all of a sudden it was just like, well, this is stupid to have two houses. Like, let's just do this, you know? And I think it naturally progressed. And if you're worried about your well-being or your kids' well-being in this part of the process, if you will, I think letting things naturally progress and not jumping straight into things, especially if you have any reserves on any part of that process, just let it naturally happen and let it take time. You know, time is, you know, one of those things that I think a lot of people want to rush through. Just let it happen.
Yeah. So good. Okay. Thinking about from how we first became friends to present day, is there anything that you wish we would have done differently? Like looking back from how our relationship progressed to decisions we made, to how we handled, I don't know, traditions or I don't know, anything that you wish we would have done differently?
I think as far as say tradition and the way we have handled things in our household, I wish we would have put ourselves above our kids. And don't get me wrong, like I love our kids, but I think a lot of our lives and a lot of our values revolve around our kids. Now, had we just realized like both of our values align, going back to the last one, you know, which we do, like both of us have a lot of the exact same values in the exact same order. And had we recognized that earlier and been okay with that and put ourselves first and then had our kids follow us through it, I think what we did is we didn't let our kids lead us, but we pushed our kids through it. So we put our kids at the top of of our chain, if you will, for the longest time. And we didn't let our, again, we didn't let our kids lead us through things, but we did everything for our kids, through our kids. We pushed our kids through it, you know, which isn't necessarily bad, but I think it made it hard for us to connect. I think allowing it to be, everything was always about the kids and what are we doing for the kids and where are the kids going and divide and conquer. And it was always kid driven versus us going, well, what do we want to do? And does that work for the kids? You know, being a little more selfish about it. And I don't think that anything would have been wrong with that because, and I've told this story on here before, but one time we were at Disneyland as a whole family and it was like day two and our kids are just, one kid wants to do one thing, another kid wants to do the other thing. And all of a sudden we just have kids in so many places wanting to do so many things. And it got to the point to where you were upset, I was upset, none of the kids were having a good time because they were being spoiled brats and wanted to do everything they wanted to do. And it, I just got so to the point, I got pushed to the edge where I'm like, you know what? Enough. Everyone can give us their suggestions, and then you and I are going to tell everyone else what they're going to do. And you guys can either come or you can go. Some of the kids went back to the room. Some of the kids didn't want to do things. So, you know what I mean? But finally, by the time we were done, all the kids got on board and they had to do either what we were doing or they weren't going to do anything. So I think that's why. So I'm trying to put this in an easy way for everyone to understand. We went to Disneyland. I'm going to break this down into steps. We went to Disneyland for our family. When we were there, we pushed our kids through Disneyland, meaning they got to,
like, what do you want to do? What we were worried about their experience, yep, and pleasing, yep, them and making, yep, them happy and catering to them. And that's how we did Disneyland.
Yeah, that's exactly how. And then day two, we changed it around and said, nope, we're doing Disneyland. You guys are going to come through. And by us leading that and pulling them through, they still had a good time. You know what I mean? They still had experiences.
Yeah.
But we are more mature. We're more thoughtful. We have all the experience to go, okay, well, by going on this ride and then this ride and then this ride, we're not running back and forth across the park, and we can get on more rides. You know what I mean? It's all first world problems, but at the end of the day, everyone's having a better time.
And I think what you're speaking to is like the wisdom of leadership, yeah, right? It's like kids aren't equipped to lead. Yeah. They don't have any life experience under their belt. They don't know what they want because they have no experience to pull from, you know, and they don't understand the bigger picture. Their brains aren't even fully developed. So like letting children lead is kind of moronic in that sense because we are the adults. We've had experience. We know what a map of Disneyland looks like and how to navigate that in the best. I know we're talking about Disneyland. It's kind of silly, but, you know, the wisdom of adult leadership is actually good for kids. And so
absolutely,
that's what,
well, and the structure,
saying,
you know, because we've gone on vacations other places too, and we get there and it's like we give the kids a list of things that they can do, and then this kid wants to do this and that kid wants, none of our kids are the same. All four of our kids are all completely different, so all the kids have a different want, mm-hmm, and value in what they want out of the experience. So all of a sudden we have four kids wanting to do four different things, and the experiences are all going to be a letdown for everyone except for one.
Yeah. So there's three losers and one winner.
That's it.
And that's how we set it up.
That's exactly how we set it up. And that was our fault. So once we realized that, and that ruined a lot of things. That ruined a lot of vacations for us.
We didn't do vacations. We still haven't done vacations as a family,
no,
really.
But what ended up happening is we ended up blaming them on certain kids. We ended up blaming the experiences on certain kids. And it's like, wait, no, one of them just took it harder than the other ones. You know what I mean? It was us failing our kids because we were letting the kids lead the experiences.
Yeah. It's a really great insight. It's so fun to ask you these questions. Okay. So this is kind of like the last question, but I want you to think of like topics instead of like how we handled things. Looking back from inception of friendship till, you know, now where
still
we're at
friendship
today. Is there anything that you wish we would have discussed either prior to dating, prior to getting engaged and moving in, prior to marriage, prior to, like, can you think of any topics or,
I feel like you'd have better topics like this. I'm pretty much an open book. I like to discuss things as we go.
But we discussed a lot, but we didn't actually ever plan or how we were going to handle things or.
Let's use the Uno reverse card on this one because I really like, Uno I reverse. Feel, yeah, because I feel like as we went, I brought up things as we would go. I don't look back and go, gosh, I really wish we would have discussed that. I don't know.
I think finances probably would have been a great discussion to have because I think
it would have all gone out the window though. It would, if we would have discussed finances, say 5 years ago, you know, we are both at different places now. That all has to change. And
that's what I mean though. I think this is just a topic like, or maybe like, how would we handle, you know, a change in, or maybe it's that we should have blended our money
sooner.
Maybe that was like what I'm trying to say, like, because there's been a lot of blessing in joining our finances. I think it's been hard and it's been different and it's been very humbling for me. But I think that has also created trust and intimacy on a different level, like laying down our lives for each other. That's what I think marriage is. I think marriage is like committing to laying down your life for the other person in all ways. And financially is one of those things. And I think you talk a lot on this podcast about separatedness. That's not a word, but being separate, you mm-hmm. know? And I think that was one thing that really also kept us separate for so long was, you know, I didn't care how you spent money because it wasn't, like, we didn't have discussions really about money because our money was separate. We had our own incomes. We provided for our own children and it didn't matter. So I never.
Until it did.
Correct. And then how I spent my money really started to matter.
Well, how I spent
or whatever,
my money.
You know what I mean?
Like, hey, hon, I bought a new car today.
But you know what I mean? Like, those are the things that we never. And you think about divorce. I mean, and money's a huge reason for divorce in our
world. Which is kind of ironic because divorce just causes more money issues, you know?
Yeah.
That's like, no, don't let that come between you guys. If you guys are listening right now and money is an issue and you're thinking about getting divorced because of money, like, it's only going to make things worse for a long time until they get better. So.
Okay. Well, that's something that I wish that we would have had, like, values around money. Like, how do we want retirement to look someday?
Yeah.
Do we want a savings?
No,
you know,
I think
how are we going to.
We were young and naive at that point, you know? Yeah. It was like, we both made money. We both made our own money. You lived, you know, and supported your kids. I lived and supported my kids. And we just went with it because it worked. What we didn't do is foresee the future. We didn't look ahead. And like you said, what's retirement look like? What does it look like to blend our money? What does it look like to save together or to do all the things? You know, it was kind of like
what do we value
yeah.
when it comes to money? Like, do we value savings? Do we value spending? What do we value spending money on? Like, these are conversations that we never had that would have been useful because then when we blended our money, you know, it would have been, I don't know. So I think that is something that looking back, and I think we would have actually grown closer a lot quicker if we just did life like that. The second we said I do.
Yeah. And again, fortunately, you and I have very similar values and our values align. So it has had its struggles, but it's something that's able to work. It's something that we're able to grow in, is our financial values, where a lot of people aren't on that same page, you know? So that's definitely a topic that if you guys have not discussed, if you guys are living together but financially separate, you know.
That can really all change.
It can all change, yeah.
Yeah. What would you say to couples? Well, first of all, I think between now and dead, every married couple, especially in a blended family, is going to want to call it quits. Like, yes. somebody in the marriage, right? I'm sure you already have.
Today?
I'm sure I already have today.
I don't know about today.
Yesterday was a good day.
Was it? We didn't see each other.
Halloween. We
oh,
did.
Oh, yes, we did. We did hang out.
We
yes,
hung out all right. day. I mean, so it's, and I think that needs to be okay. I think everyone needs to calm down and understand it's okay for people to want to give up.
Well, people
That's
need
normal,
to stop.
Natural.
We all need
okay.
to stop taking things so damn personally.
It's okay.
You know, just, yeah, it's okay.
But what do you, what would you share? Because I'm sure between, again, inception of friendship to present day, there has been a time or a thousand times that you're like, this is a lot, oh, more than a thousand, 10,000, a million?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. So what advice or what would you say to people who are experiencing, like, I just want to give up. I'm done. Like, I can't do this. This is not for me. I'm not equipped to do this.
I would say sit down by yourself for a little while.
That's what they want to do permanently.
Yeah. No, but really sit down by yourself and figure it out, like pros and cons, you know, is my life better? Is my life worse? You know, would I be better off? Would I be worse? What, you know, what about the kids? Really have a deep conversation with yourself. Why are you feeling like this? You know, is it you actually feeling like this? Is it your spouse or your partner actually making you feel like this? What is the root cause of it? Why are we at this place in our life and our relationship? Why am I feeling the way that I feel? And if you struggle with that, hit up Julie, becomingheard.com. And Julie is someone who can help you really figure this out, because what I think a lot of people do is they get caught up in this headspace. They watch social media. They talk with their friends. They are always looking at the outside world and the outside influence. And they're not, they're looking at everyone else's situation and not taking their own situation and experience into account. And of course, everything on the outside to everyone else looks so great, right? But why am I feeling this way? What can change? And a lot of times it's not our spouse doing it, it's ourselves. So what can I do? Why am I this way? Why am I feeling this way? But get with someone like Julie, a health and life coach that will help you better yourself. And what you always tell me is that
nothing changes until you do.
Yep.
Yeah, true. I think we're always looking for other people to change, and we don't realize that we can change our experience by changing ourselves. Like, well, that is the power.
Yeah. And the grass is always greener on the other side. I mean, such a stupid saying, but it's such a true saying. You know, everything is always so much better. Like, you know, the things that could change, but do the things actually really change? Yeah. In fantasy world, they change. Mm-hmm. But, you know, does your next spouse end up being all the things that your current spouse isn't? Do your next stepkids end up being all the things your current stepkids aren't? You know what I mean? Like, is that next job so much better than the one that you're at? Again, they might be, but you have to weigh those out. You have to weigh out the pros and cons, and you have to figure out, like, what the true cause of you feeling like this is and what will really change if you go down another road.
Yeah, it's good. And the counter to the grass is always greener on the other side is what? The grass is greener where you water it. Right. And
so insightful.
I totally believe we are all capable.
Yeah.
But I think we don't want it.
No.
Like, I think,
well,
that's where you have to,
no,
get honest.
No, either that or we're
yourself.
Lazy about it. And people want everyone to do everything else for them. Everyone wants to blame everyone else for everything. No one wants to take accountability anymore. No one wants to show up and work hard anymore, you know, or put in the time or go through the struggles. You know, oh, I've already been divorced. I don't want to deal with this crap again. You know, it's like, no, the reason you're divorced is because you didn't go through the crap the first time. You need to fight through it on this time. This is your time to look at it, assess it, and deal with it. If you never deal with anything, if you run away and you get divorced and you just go from one person to the next, it's never going to get better because you've never learned how to deal with it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
No,
we have
a few more
questions, okay. And they're good ones. Like, I think that's the last. This is so I want to get gushy mushy.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
here we go on camera.
Yep.
Okay.
What do you think is the best part of our story? Right? We have a story that we've had from beginning to now. And if you're looking back for you, what for you is the best part of our story?
Jeez, that's a loaded question.
No, there's no judgment. I'm just your opinion. What's for you? What's the best or a best part, right? There could be multiple. Yeah. I don't think that could be hard.
I think the best part of our story is all the grace involved in our story. There's so many times where, you know, again, going back to this last one, I could have left 1,000 times. You could have left 1,000 times.
A million times.
But something that you and I do that I think a lot of couples don't is we learn, we try to grow, we push ourselves, we try to better ourselves, and we don't dig our feet in the sand and not budge for one another. Like, you force me to grow, I force you to grow. And I think we do that for one another. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of our story, is that we have grown through this whole thing. You know, from the day we met one another till now, we have grown, you know, and it's not always growing up, as weird as that sounds. No, sometimes we're growing left and sometimes we're growing right.
Or expanding.
And we're just, yeah, it's like we're growing in places that I never anticipated to grow. I never wanted to grow. It was never a priority of mine, but I've seen that it's been a priority of yours. So I have gone, okay, well, I'm going to grow here, and I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you. And you've done the same thing for me. You know, it's like you're going to grow in places where you're like, I have no want or no desire to grow in that area of my life, but you've done it for me. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big part of our story.
Thanks for sharing. I went in on this one too, actually, because I think as you're talking, one of my favorite parts of our story is respect. I don't think we would be here today or tomorrow if we didn't respect each other in such a tremendous way, because we disagree a lot. I think that's
a lot.
But I think that's normal, right? I don't think that we're special.
As much as we disagree, I don't know if that's normal, but it's normal for us.
We have completely different upbringings. We have completely different ways sometimes of parenting. We are so different. We have different hobbies and interests, and oh my gosh, we're so different, and we respect the hell out of each other. And I think that allows grace in, like right. You said, grace. And I'm like, well, yeah, because we really respect each other. It would not work. Our differences could not coexist without like respect and grace.
Right.
But I also know you allow me so much space to be who I am and to parent how I want to parent, and, you know, to have the values that I have because you respect me. Right. Even you, and I think people need to learn that. Like, you don't have to agree with someone to respect them. And I think that's our whole marriage.
Welcome to our house.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
What are you most proud of in our blended family or in our marriage? But like looking back, you know, be prideful for a minute. Like, you're looking at our family and how we've in our marriage, maybe if our family doesn't feel like that's what you want to talk about, but what are you most proud of when it comes to us?
I think something to be proud of in our family is our family, is our kids. You know, our kids have struggled through a lot. We have struggled through a lot. But look where we are. Look where every single one of our kids are. Look where we are. We're all further ahead than we were. And I think we are all further ahead than we would have been. I think, again, everyone struggles. Every single person struggles in one way, shape, or form. We have all struggled. And I'm talking about from our youngest kid to our oldest kid to us. They have all had struggles, but they have all grown from it. You know, every single one of our kids, there's not a single one of our kids or us that I'm like, I'm disappointed in. You know, every single one continues to grow every day. And I think that's a testament to our family and our family values, you know, because if they don't struggle, then I'm not saying that we need to force our kids to struggle, but if our kids don't struggle, then they almost have it too easy. They live in like la la land. And they're not going to understand real
they're
world.
They're not prepared for life at that point.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But the way that they have struggled and we have helped them grow and they have learned to grow and they have navigated, I'm like, all of our kids are going to be fine.
Yeah, I would say that's one of my pride points too. I think what I love about how we have raised our children, and part of me struggles with your original answer of like pushing the kids through blended life versus pulling them or like us leading them. I think what's really special about our blended family specifically is that we have really allowed every individual in our family to be who they are. And we're not trying, and that includes you and me as adults. Like we haven't ever tried to fit our entire blended family into a box. Like everyone must act the same and do the same and look the same. And you have to present a certain way and you have to, like we really allowed every person in our blended family to feel safe to be themselves. And then we can guide that individually. You know, it's not that we're just like a free-for-all in our home where everyone do what you want and be yourselves. No, it's like we're going to honor who you are and we're going to guide that person.
Within our values,
you know. But
this is a like, look at any of our Christmas cards. That's exactly who we are. And why I say that is because we have structure to our Christmas cards, but it's just guidelines. It's not like you must wear this, you must wear that, this much must be. It's some guidelines and it's very
like
general.
Here's a color palette. Yep. And then you find your outfit within that color palette.
And, yep. And you look at all of us on our Christmas card.
So different.
And all of us, we're not all wearing white shirts with jeans and rolled up pant legs. You know what I mean? Like, isn't that such a thing? I can't tell you how many houses I go into.
On the beach.
And they're on the beach.
Because we're on the beach.
And they all look, and they all look, you know what
barefoot,
I mean?
Barefoot, like, rolled jeans, white shirt.
No.
Yeah. No, we...
It's just guidelines. It's guidelines. And everyone, you know, everyone does their own thing and it fits them. You can crop out one person out of our Christmas cards each year and it's who they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. It's probably the thing I'm most proud of in our blended family.
Did we do it perfectly? No. But it's working. It's a good thing.
I'm proud of it. I'm
like,
yeah,
we've
done a lot wrong. It's okay to be like,
solid 90% on it.
What's the biggest, two more questions. No, last question.
Okay.
Here we go. What is the biggest lesson you've learned from being a part of this blended family? Because you were a part of a blended family previous, which you
Yeah, which I didn't even realize at the time. So funny to me. I'm like, was that even a term back then?
I don't know. But like this blended family that you're in now, what is the biggest or a big lesson, right? I know that's like a big question.
It would have been nice to know this ahead of time. Sorry.
I don't know. Like looking back, like what have you learned just being in relationship with me, being a stepdad to the kids that you're a stepdad to, being a bio dad, you know, to the kids that you are.
That's actually kind of an easy one, I think.
Oh.
No,
shame me and then be like, it's easy.
Yeah. It's manipulation.
Our marriage, you guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Such a manipulator. I think that taking the role as dad, father, husband, male leader of the household is a wonderful thing, but I think taking it too far and becoming over authority.
Is that a word?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Cartman uses it. you have to respect his authority.
I do.
But leading, you know, with an iron fist and taking that role so seriously that it ends up hurting and scaring people, I think is not the way to go. I think one thing that has worked very well for me, and again, kind of going back to the last thing, is I've let everyone kind of be their own thing. I've shown up, I've played the role, but I don't overplay the role. You know, I make sure that I am just leading by example. You know, I'm there for the kids when they need me. I kind of give them their space, let them do their things, and I'm not too harsh on anyone. You know, now if things get to a point, I can be, but for the most part, I just let the kids know that I'm always there for them. You know, I let you know that I'm always there for you, but it's not so overpowering that, you know, your children are like, dude, my stepdad sucks. Like, he's such a hard ass, you know. He rides me. He treats me differently. He's mean to me. You know, it's like you kind of just go with the flow, if you will.
That's a good one. If I had to answer this question, I would say this is the greatest exercise in love I've ever experienced. And it's interesting because I don't think there's any bigger stretch of love than a blended family.
There's so many dynamics to it.
Well, and because love, we've done episodes on this prior, but love isn't not a feeling. It's an action. It's a verb. And so actually understanding what love is and then putting it into practice and loving people is not a feelings thing. And I think for somebody who always wanted love from childhood, you know, and I've been married 3 times, I've been chasing it for a lot of my life, and being settled in our family now has really been the biggest exercise in like experiencing love, giving love, learning to receive love. And that's been like the biggest lesson, and a lesson that I'm still learning. You know, I haven't learned, I haven't arrived. Clearly. You know, you stretch me to love better a lot, and I don't like it sometimes.
I want a shirt made that says love stretcher.
Love stretcher. So I think that would be like my biggest lesson. Thanks you guys so much for listening to my questions. And
this is a love stretcher. Okay. Thank you for listening.
And with that, if you want to work with me in any capacity, I would love to have the opportunity to connect with you. Reach out to me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com, or you can explore my website at becomingheard.com. I'm a life coach certified, and I would love, love, love to be able to come alongside you on a transformational journey that can better your blended family experience and help you be okay in your circumstance, be peaceful, be better than okay, right? Or figure out next steps if that's what needs to happen. So I'm here. I would love to connect with you. So reach out, and thank you for being an awesome husband. You really are.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Or Dr. Lovestretch.
Okay. Oh, dear God. I was going to give you a compliment. Now I just can't.
Like, again, our relationship.
Yeah. And done. And seen.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you guys for being here with us and putting up with our nonsense. So
your nonsense.
My nonsense. Mostly my nonsense. But, yeah, like Julie said, you want to get a hold of her, becomingheard.com. Hit us up on all the socials.
Go look at our Halloween pics.
Go look at our Halloween pics. Interact with us. Tag us and stuff. We'll put it on our story. We want to interact with you guys. And just thank you for being here. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.